So, if we come back to the mirror world period,
yes.
Is there a special memory from that period, from recording to tour, everything, that would kind of pop in your mind and summarize this whole?
Well, when it comes to the writing of that album, I mean, it's writing on the road that I remember the strongest. So I do remember writing "You're Not Alone," sitting, you know, early morning in the tour bus, not being able to sleep, whereas I should be able to sleep because I was tired, but I couldn't. And I guess it was good because that's when the idea for the song came to me. And so I just unpacked my laptop, set it up, and I started recording.
So is that the usual process? In general, able to write on tour, or you needed a special mood, or the period was adapted to that?
It's not something I do all the time. I do it all the time on tour, I mean, but not every night. You know, it's not every morning I get up, it's not every night, it's not every day. But it pretty much happens every time I'm out. Because if I don't have, you know, I have to have some creative output somehow, in some way. And when you're touring, you know, I can't sit at home in my studio. So then, tour bus is the perfect spot, especially early in the morning if you get up then, because nobody else is around and you get to do stuff on your own. And peace and quiet is good.
And also, I suppose it's one way or the other. It's one way to manage the fact that you have a long period of not doing much, waiting for the. Because I mean, from my point of view and from an outsider, you have this feeling that the tour is a weird world where you have 2 hours of very intense emotion, but the whole day is getting sometimes boring. Waiting for this peak of emotion.
Sometimes you can go sightseeing and sometimes you cannot, and sometimes you're just traveling for long hours, and you pretty much have the right idea there, because you have to learn how to play the waiting game. You'll be waiting for this, waiting for that, and you know, you're always waiting for something. And if you instead stop thinking about the waiting and you just go ahead and do something, you find your own spot. If you need your time to do something else, find the spot where you can do it. Like, it could be downstairs in the bus, it could be in your bunk, I don't know. It could be while you're sitting down on the toilet. I don't care. Find the spot where you feel like at home and relax, and it's like your private time, and you can do whatever you want. You can just have fun.
Did it happen already in the past that you wake up one morning in the two of us and you have no fucking clue where you are?
Every
which
day.
Which city is supposed to be? Is that Paris, Berlin?
Yeah, I'm really good at not knowing, because I normally don't care, because the bus will go and the bus will get me to where I want to be. So when I have to know where I am, I take my little pass and I look at the back and go, oh, okay.
Yeah, it's good when you start the show, welcome, and you give the right city, I suppose.
Yeah, I normally don't do that. I play it safe. No, it's one of those things that I don't, generally speaking, do. It's also because I often find that, you know, you go, hello, Berlin, and then you're standing there and half of the people have traveled there from Denmark.
Yeah, sure.
And it's also, you know, of course they understand that we're playing in Berlin and they're happy about it anyway. It's just not one of those things I say. So most people do, but I don't have to worry about that. But if I do make a mistake like that, I'm sure that somebody will point it out.
For sure.
Yeah.
So you seem to keep the very high pace of releasing a new album each year, basically.
Yes.
So first of all, why such short period between two albums, and do you think and wish to be able to cope with such pace for the years to come?
Well, I sure hope that we can do this, because it makes it interesting. And I also think that it's very easy to start overthinking things. It's very easy to start overproducing things. It's very easy to just let things take too much time, and then they sit around and they grow old, and you know. Instead, you can just go for it. You find what you love about the music that you come up with, and you work with that. And you get that going. And then, you know, one thing that comes that as an extra really good bonus, I wouldn't say it's a bonus, it's actually part of the main reason why we do this. So we put out a new album, you can go out and tour, and we just love that part. I love being on the road. So you put out a new album, you can go out and tour. That's like the best combo ever. So you put out a new album, you go out on tour. You don't put out a new album, what are you going to do? Now sit around at home.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, that's also nice. It's not really for you know, it's better to be out and working.
Yeah, but you're not increasing the risk of a kind of a exhausting the creativity or repeating yourself, or how do you manage that thing?
I don't think that there's any danger of that, because for one, we have multiple songwriters in the band. It's not just one or two guys. We have more. And I don't think that we repeat ourselves. I don't think we really done that. I mean, sure, we stay within certain parameters, but we change it a bit, and it changes, you know, the first album is one thing, the second is another, and this third one is yet another one. I mean, you can tell it's the same band if you listen to it, but it's different. If you don't agree, well, then it's fine. I think it's different, and I think we're not going to have a hard time keeping it different enough while still retaining the identity of Sirius Black.
This evolution is conscious or unconsciously by your creativity goes this way or this way or this way?
Parts of it is conscious, but
you kind of brainstorm before starting the whole stuff, or
we brainstorm quite a bit, but it's not necessarily about songwriting. Brainstorming, it goes more for what we can do around it, and sometimes what we think of that we can do around it will then spark ideas for the songwriting, you know. And you know, you come up with one thing, if we do this, then we can do this on stage, and then if we do this on stage, we can have this here, and you go around. And, you know, one thing sparks the other, and it's a little bit like this. Once you start getting ideas going, it snowballs. You get more ideas.
Mm-hmm.
It's the opposite of writer's block. So if you keep going, just keep going, don't stop. Don't stop. Just keep going, let it come, let it flow, and let's see what happens. If something seems stale, well, then there you go. Don't use it. Do something else.
All right. Let's try now to try to focus more on with two questions, more on the business side of things.
Okay.
After that, coming back to magic.
Yeah.
Also, once again, my point of view from external, it seems that there's a new rise of power metal in general. It was kind of down this last 5-10 years after the explosion and then the bubble burst of progressive metal power stuff.
Yeah.
Now it starts to come back. You get huge band, and Sabaton from Sweden, Powerwolf from Germany.
Yes.
Hammerfall is kind of, well, don't know much, still there, but not at their peak. Do you also feel there's a revival of power metal? Or
I think what it is that you take those bands that you mentioned there, you know, think what you want about the style of metal that they do. Think what you want about the direction and exactly what their message is in the lyrics. Think what you want about anything. But what they do have is a very clear identity. You know exactly what Sabaton, what they're doing. They're very clear. Their packaging is just right for them. You know what Powerwolf is doing. It's just right for them.
And you recognize them in 3 seconds.
Yes. And like it, this is how it goes. But and it may be power metal. It may be whatever you want to call it. But it sticks out a little bit. They found something that's theirs. And when you do this, then I think there's no danger. You don't have to worry. It's rather if you see like, this is what we do as power metal. Power metal is this. So we have to be this. If that's what you're thinking, I think you're doomed to failure. If you're instead going, so maybe we're playing power metal. Fine. Call it what you want. I don't care. Because we're doing this, and then we have this here, and we do it this way. And it doesn't sound like that. Well, so what? Isn't that the whole reason? If we sound exactly like somebody else, shouldn't we just quit? You know, or could we just not write the songs for them here?
So basically, from the beginning, you were Sirius Black, you're kind of looking for your own identity.
I think we...
Your sound, your style, your...
Well, I think this is what we musicians do. I mean, maybe not all. Some of us are... Some musicians are copycats, whether they know it or not. And this could be me as well. I don't know. Maybe I'm a copycat, and I have no idea. Because if you are a copycat, you might not know it. There are a few that I know of that do this on purpose, and they know it goddamn well. But they'll do it anyway. But, yeah, you know, I'm thinking this is how it goes. If you want to really do something that's gonna catch on, you gotta look for something that's unique within yourself and find that. If you love it, somebody else might love it too. And I don't say that when we started out with the first album, I don't think we said even a single time that these are the parameters, this is what we do. It was more a case of, hey, what demos do you have? I have this and this and this and this. And then we said, oh yeah, I want to do this one too. This one, the song you did over here, can I take it? I want to write a new chorus for it. This song over there, I have a song here with, I don't like the verse, can you fix it for me? And, you know, and then you just look at what happens. And it's like, okay, so what happens when we work together? This is what happens. And we let that be the defining factor, the people involved. Not so much going, oh, let's write a song that sounds like, that's not how we do it. So the difference between the first one, the second one, and this one, it's something that happens naturally because of where we are as people right now, and we let that show. Instead of going like, we haven't done this in the past, so we can't do this now. It's more like, okay, so maybe we haven't done this before, but it's a good song, we're doing it.
All right. And second question, more so once again in the kind of business side, how proud are you to come with Furious Black and a third album? Because I'm sure you're aware, especially at the beginning, a lot of people were doubtful about the band, saying, okay, it's an all-star stuff. You guy, the former from Blind Guardian, the former guy from this and the former that. You mix that one album, they try to sell, after that the band explodes. It was kind of the beginning like that, the feeling that Thomas Stauch left the stuff, you don't know the tour, who will be there exactly. And then you stabilize the lineup, and you come back with the third album, roughly the same, except the drummer, same lineup than the last time. Or now the drummer is part of the band. I'm sure you knew that at the beginning people might kind of be doubtful about it. How proud are you to say, after 3 years we're there, it's the third album, and kind of fuck you all? I mean, would you improve yourself?
Well, I would probably do that. I'd say this, if you'd have Mario give this interview, he would tell you he's proud as fuck. That's something that, fuck you all. Different personalities here. I don't think like that. I am happy to prove you wrong. But I'm going like, hey, aren't you glad we're still around? Mm-hmm. That's more like, I'm very happy. I'm basically just proud of the output that we've written a lot of good songs. And I think the fact that we're still here, that's something I'm proud of. But it's not so much like, fuck you guys for not believing in me, because I don't care. It's really up to me, it's up to everyone in this band to show them. And this is something that we need to do. Whether we had this all-stars, you know, stamp on us or not, it was still up to us to show that we are going to consistently put out music and stay together and work hard. That's up to us, that's up to any band. And the reason why you see this, you know, it's not because it's an all-star band formation. You can take any band, the formative years, when you start a band, you'll see people coming in and out. That's just how it is, because you gotta find the chemistry and the people that find the same level of how much they want to put into the band. How much time do you want to spend working on this? Do you think it's worth the sacrifice to be away from your family for 6 months? Do you think this is worth it? If you don't, well, then you're not the right person. And you will normally not find this out, because at the onset, most musicians will say, of course I want to tour all the time, I love touring. And then it shows up, it turns out that they don't really want to do it. Or they might want to do it, but they can't physically do it. And that's another thing.
Yeah, maybe it's also the one of the side effects or the drawbacks of maybe just the marketing tool. Obviously, AFM is marketing the first time. First is the band from DXY, this guy, yeah.
And there is no way they wouldn't have done this, because it makes all the sense in the world for them. And they should do it, and this is absolutely fine. And we did benefit from it. We did gain lots of listeners simply from this strategy. So for that, we're grateful. And it might have hurt us in some respect, where people go, maybe they're not really a band. Maybe they are just like a
studio project.
Yes.
Kind of
backwards. But it's quite the opposite. And I think, you know, while it may not be that we're going like, well, we're going to show you, motherfuckers, that's not really, maybe it's Mario's attack. Well, he's a little bit like that. And this is good, because that gives him the drive to work hard. So that's his drive. I'm more like, I want to make art with these people. That's what I want to do. Because I see we got such a great creative, you know, talent in this band. We got such a great bunch of people with great, you know, tempers and great anything, you know, good people. And I want to work with these people. And this is why we keep going. The more work we can do, the happier I will be, because it's a great atmosphere to work.
All right.
You know.
Coming back to the beginning of the work on Magic, when did this Mr. Nightmist character came in? That you built from that, or it came after?
Well,
in the
it's I was writing songs already on the tour, on the Mirror World tour, but they weren't written with this concept in mind. And we all write songs, and you just, so some of us write songs continuously, but we all write songs eventually. But, we have a few of us that write songs, like, we just write songs, we don't stop. And then one day, I had this idea, it seems like there's words and melody just came, bam, like this to me. And I walked up, it was after the show, backstage, and I'm walking up to Bob and I'm saying, I want us to do this chorus, listen to this. And I sang the melody, and he picked up the guitar and said, and after that we play this. And that was serious black magic. And that's when it all fell into place for me, because I've been thinking and toying with ideas like this and this, and I had lots of it. But when I did that and he played that bit and I just saw it all coming together, like, okay, so now I can do this story. I have this plot that I want to use. This will work. And we have this centered
around
us.
At the right time, so yes, with the right moment. Yeah.
At this point in time, I didn't have a name for Mr. Nightmist. I just had the character. This is what he is. This is who he is. This is what he's going to go through. And this is how he feels. And this is how this motivation. And that's all I had. So a little bit later, I was at home and Bob sent me a demo. And he just gave it, you've got to put a title on the file to send over. Yeah. So he gave it a title. It said Nightmist. I said, that's it. So Bob, essentially, without knowing it, named the main character Mr. Nightmist. So that's the name for it. So.
And how much of yourself did you put in the character?
Well, there's plenty of me. There's plenty of you in the character, too, I'm pretty sure. Because what it is this. I take this part. This is the driving force about it. Because this is something that you will have experienced, I have experienced, pretty much everyone will experience this, something tragic happening, some great loss, some injustice that you've been, that's been forced upon you, something that you couldn't do anything about at the time, you felt powerless, you couldn't change it, and it's really unfair, it's something you didn't want to do, and it's difficult to let go. Sometimes we can do this, and this is important, sometimes we can do it fast. In Mr. Knight's case, this is how he reacted to it. He decided, I am going to be strong. I'm going to be so powerful that nobody can ever let make me experience this again. Some people take it this way, and he did. And so that takes him down this path where he's trying to become the most powerful, sorcerer, magician out there. And he acquires magic. He didn't have any to begin with, but now he acquires them. So he is a really powerful magician. And so he comes back eventually. This is generations later, because what happens is he also greatly expands his lifetime. So he comes back to the town because the situation has really gone out of control. And they send out a letter to this person that they have no idea that he's actually connected to them, because this is so much later. It couldn't possibly be him anyway. So it's this mythical character to them that's like supposed to be really powerful. And he is. They send out this letter. It managed to track him down, and he gets it. And he decides, okay, I'm coming back, because he knew exactly what it was. It was the curse. And so he needed to break it. Or perhaps in his mind he's thinking, maybe there's a chance that I can be reunited with the love of my life. That's the witch that was burned, that cast the curse. Mm-hmm. And so this is how it comes back there. And so the drive here is this thing that, you felt it. And in the end of this thing, he actually decides, when we come back, he decides that he has to save the town and let go of her. So that's how it is. That's the sacrifice he makes for everybody else. And it's also when he does this, he lets go of the past. He says, okay, I'm over it. And he can take a great big breath of, fresh air and go on with Newfound Freedom, which is the track that he goes like, okay, you let go of something that heavy that you've been, maybe not actively struggling with, but it's weighing you down. It's something that, it kind of cripples you as a person. You cannot let go of it because you're holding this. This was not right, damn it. This is not right. I need to, if you can't let go of that, that's tough. So you get that song, of course, one final song, then insinuates or hints at least that, life is life. So it's not going to be like all sunshine and roses from there on just because you got something right. So it comes back and it cycles back around.
All right.
So not Mr. Nightmist is you, he's me, and this is, that's where I draw it from.
For magic, did you use any leftover from Mirror World, or end of the chapter? Or do you have leftovers from previous, maybe bits and pieces, not all songs, or half songs, or...?
We had For the first album, I've taken stuff from... I was going to make a solo album way back. I've taken stuff from the first album, which was Daylight Breaks. It's got a whole bunch of songs from there. Mirror World's got a few songs from there. This album has... I think got a single one. It's not... No, it was close. I was going to almost... It almost had one, but it doesn't have any. But I still have some of those. And they're not bad. It's just they didn't fit. So, and then there's from the actual Mirror World session stuff that we did, there wasn't a single song on there, but I had a chorus for True Love is Blind. And I told Bob, I have this great chorus. This is what I want the chorus to be. This is the chorus. Does this spark anything in you? And he sent back the rest. So that was it. So
that's cool. Once again, the concept is important. So when we receive the promo file, you have the whole PDF, the whole information,
yes,
everything. And so, obviously, to illustrate this story of the first, well, the only thing I could see is the cover artwork.
Yes.
So, general question after coming back to Magic. In general, how do you work for the cover artwork? How important is it for you? And for this one in particular, how did you work with the cover artist?
Well, very closely, but loosely. I like to think of it like this. I hate it when people start telling me, can you change this, Arvin? Can you do this? Can you change this? It's art. I have to feel it, you know. If I decide to sing something a certain way, I don't mind if you occasionally ask me, can we do this? But when I get a lot of questions like that, I feel like maybe you should write your own song.
Yes,
something like that. That's what I feel, and I think most of us feel like that. So I don't like to go like and mess with it too much. So I told him what my original concept was.
The him is?
It's Jan Yrki Erlund.
Okay.
So he's a Finn. I think he goes by Dark Grove. So darkgrove.net.
He did the previous ones?
No, he didn't. The previous one was Stan W. Decker. I think he's French.
Yeah.
So good stuff. And the one before that was Danny. He's an Italian guy. So
okay.
We
you changed for sure.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. So he did that, and I told him that this is the concept I'm having in mind. And you can, you know, do that and work that with the techniques that you are most familiar with. Because if I do this, I will do it in acrylics. and whatever you do, you feel free to do it. And I said, if you want to change something to make, if let's say that I wanted a daffodil in there, and I'm going like, this is how I would paint it, I would make it look really good. But if you think that you don't paint daffodils very well, but you're great with tulips, then put tulips in, by all means. So I said that this is what I had, and then we were working on that. But we needed some other stuff before, so he left that alone, because we have all this extra stuff that we needed, so we needed that before. So the cover artwork was left a little bit to the side, and then Bob said, Urban, you are wrong. We don't want that. We want you on the cover, he said. Why don't we just take you on the cover as Mr. Nightmist? And I said, I don't really feel, you know, we're the band, it would kind of feel silly for me to be there. And he goes like, no, you're wrong. For this album, it's right. It's Mr. Nightmist. You'll dress up as Mr. Nightmist. So why don't we just stick it on there to make that, you know, to give it that, this is the branding of the album. This is the story of Mr. Nightmist. Put that on there. And I said, okay, let me talk to him. And he said, that's awesome, he said, because I was thinking something like that. So Jan had already thought about that. So
you have to think of what is the outfit of Mr. Nightmist.
Yes, exactly.
Because you see, you can think, yeah, it would be a nice to have a hat and sort of the,
yeah.
But you need that once again to focus to get the real character.
Yeah, so but really, at this point, I had already picked out this outfit for Mr. Nightmist.
Okay,
so it was very easy. I just took a picture of this and sent it over to the artist and said, hey, this is what he looks like, paint it.
Right. Does that mean that one way or the other, you change yourself to, that you will have to perform, maybe that's the purpose, the album, the whole album live, in one big...
That is the plan to do, but not for the first tour, because we are going to bring, we'll be bringing some stage buildings and things like that go, you know, along with the concept of the album. But the actual full album, the plan is to have the budget for that before we do it, so that we can bring actors and actresses, and maybe even magicians, and have lots of spectacular things with it, so that we can give it, you know, that extra bit. So do it right, you know, when we do it that way.
Right.
And I think that's the better way to do it. So this first tour, we're playing quite a few of the songs, and I will, of course, put this on for the songs where it's relevant. So I'll need to learn how to get in and out of this outfit quickly.
Sure.
And be fine with sweating like crazy.
That's the risk, for sure.
Yes.
Once you still also, once again, in the illustration of the album, you just, maybe in a few weeks ago, came back from Serbia, from Belgrade,
yes,
to shooting one, two clips?
That's one song that we filmed on there,
right?
Yes.
In general, how what can you tell us about shooting videos in general? Do you like that kind of exercise, or it's a necessary pain?
I
because
think
as you explained in Facebook, it's 17 hours of
hard work. Through the past, I will say that I've always continued, and I'm still a little torn. I think the music should be about the music, and it shouldn't be about the video. You should listen to it. That's music. But at the same time, this is its own art form. You know, it's a little bit like, you know, you have theater, that's its art form. Movies, it's its own, and they are kind of related. And it's the same thing here, we have music and the music video. And they are related, but they are different disciplines. And it can be done really well, and I'm really curious to see what the end result is going to be here. And as far as what I like about it or don't like, I've in the past thought that making a video has been an extreme nuisance, and I've been very displeased when I feel like I have to go do it. And this is, of course, based on the fact that I think that the music should come first and stand on its own, and we don't need music videos. But working with this team that we did in Serbia, even though my part, I had to do my part last after everything else was done, the rest of the band were done because they were done first, and then we took all the actors and actresses and everything that was before I got in. So I was the last person, so I was waiting all day. Despite that, it was a highly pleasurable experience, and I do kind of feel like the next album, maybe we should make a whole bunch of videos. Yes, I have ideas for it too. So with that in mind, it could be very interesting.
Because from the few pictures we saw on Facebook, it seems to be, I don't know if it lasts, but some of green screen.
Yes.
So you add some special effects or something.
Yeah.
So there also you're doing stuff in front of nothing, which is basically huge.
Yes.
A green screen. How weird is that? Or?
I didn't find it to be weird at all. And I don't think, it didn't seem like any one of us actually had a problem with it.
Because you're used to it? Or
No. I think it's just the fact that, you know, well, maybe because we have done it before, but also because, you know, you may think that doing weird things is kind of strange and would feel unnatural, but this is part of being a performing musician. And I kind of like doing these things already. And so I have like a positive feeling from doing silly poses where most people would feel uncomfortable and feel like, this is silly. And I'm going like, this is silly, yeah. And some people go like, this is silly, ooh, I don't feel like, don't look at me. And I'm going like, no, the other way around. When you're doing this, enjoy it, embrace it. Take this time to have some fun. People understand. People understand that this is entertainment. They understand that you don't walk around like this in your living room at home, even though I do.
Oops. Just last two questions, and after that, it'll be time to finish. You have a long experience in the music business now, Blood Band, and more, and you 15, 20 years maybe on the business. What would you say about how would you judge the evolution? Is that for the good or for the worse?
You mean like technology or just how music has gone with the styles?
The business, the whole thing.
The whole thing. Everything.
Too much, maybe, too much bands, you're
well,
lost in the...
Is it really for me to decide that there can be too many bands?
No, I'm going
to get to my point here. I'm just going to set this up. So is it really, you know, for me to decide whether there are too many bands? Is it really for me to decide that there are too many people on this planet? You know, it's a little bit the same question in that respect. So I cannot say that. Of course it makes it more difficult to make a mark. It makes it more difficult to make people take notice. It's more difficult to stand out and find your own unique brand when you have 2 million types of unique brands of metal, which of course could all fall into a very narrow band, but with slight changes in between them. So then it's more difficult. And you might say that that's a bad thing. Well, maybe. On the other hand, shouldn't I then just take that as a challenge to up my game even further and do even better, to stand out a little bit more? In that respect, it means that I have to wake up to this, you know, make this realization for myself that that's really what I need to do. And then that's a good thing, because if you up your game, you get better, and everybody gains from it. So that the next album might be even better. And, you know, the next thing we do is better. That's what you have to aim for, you know, if that's the, what you strive for. And then, of course, quality does not necessarily mean, you know, success. But that's irrelevant at that point. What do? Do I go like, it might not make, you know, we might not sell a million copies. I'm not going to bother. No, of course not. That's not how I think about it. It might not, but it's what I do. And so in that respect, it doesn't matter if it's better or worse that you have lots of bands around. The technology that's around, I think that's fantastic. Like I pointed out a few times today, I've said that maybe with this technology available at our fingertips, maybe every band should be able to put an album out every 6 months instead of every 3 years. Because I remember a time when we didn't have this technology, when it was a lot more difficult. Bands would put out an album every year. Some bands put out more. I remember Saxon putting out 2 albums 1 year. Come on. It can be done. What you need is creative people. Creativity and the know-how. And I think the know-how is there. But what do you do? Do you hang around at home? Just play, you know, your PlayStation or something like this. And that's the thing. We have technology in so many fields that maybe we don't take advantage of it in the right way.
Right.
And so it's a positive evolution in the fact that we now have options. The negative thing is maybe we become complacent, you know, maybe we, I can fix it in 5 minutes, something that would normally take 2 days before. I'll just do it later. You know, and then later turns into later than you ever believed it would be, and suddenly your next album comes out 4 years later. And, you know, I say this like as if I'm like above this. No, come on, I'm so guilty of this that it's crazy. This is why I think it's important to point out, because I know this, and this is why I'm so happy to work with this band, where we have this drive, mm-hmm. where, you know, where we help each other get out of this complacency of going like, yeah, we already put out a good album, we can sit back for a while now. So instead we have like, oh no, come on, I got a new idea. Oh, you got a new, I got one too. And you know that, you know, it triggers a lot of good behavior.
Right, and last question. You announced on Facebook releasing 3 records this year?
Yes.
One is Vashek?
Yes.
The other two, any?
Oh, it's a fun thing from Mario, I think. It was the posted this. What it is there'll be two. Well, first of all, you have the regular jewel case version of Magic. And then we have the Digipack of Magic. And unlike with Mirror World, it's the same number of tracks on it. But what you get with the Digipack is you get the Live in Atlanta album along mm-hmm. with it. And if you then buy the special limited box set, you get the Digipack, so that you get both Magic and Live in Atlanta. But you also get First Light, which is an acoustic album with songs from As Daylight Breaks, Mirror World, and Magic.
Right.
And you get a special tarot card deck, a custom-made one, and a Ouija board.
Right,
you gotta get that one.
All right, perfect. Thank you very much.
Thank you.